Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. And this week's episode with Stacy Lewis is brought to you, of course, by Ogio. I've preached a lot about the Renegade Backpack. It is one of my favorite things I've ever been sent in my life. And that's not just because they're a sponsor. It's unbelievable. I travel all the time. It's nice to have something I know will keep my laptop safe, my iPad safe, my headphones safe. I can also throw an extra pair of shorts and a t-shirt and a toothbrush in there. It's got so much room for everything you need to travel with, and it'll keep it all completely compact and safe. Trust me, the Renegade Backpack's one of the best backpacks on the market. And good news, if you use the Clubhouse, no spaces, at checkout, you'll save 20% on one of the best backpacks out there. The Renegade Backpack by Ogio. Go to Ogio, O-G-I-O.com, and check out that and their entire line of golf bags and travel bags and luggage. Everything they make is awesome. Use that offer code THECLUBHOUSE and you'll save 20%. Of course, Stacy Lewis, the golf story of the week, maybe the golf story of the year in my opinion, said earlier in the week that she'd be donating her entire winnings out of the Portland golf event to all the hurricane relief efforts down in Houston. And she goes on to win. First time in 3 years, she's finished second so many times, so close at all these events. And she goes out there in this four-dayer and wins by a shot on the 18th green. Really one of the cooler things that you'll see in the sport of golf. And KPMG, some of her sponsors, doubling how much she won, nearly $400,000 they're going to donate to the relief efforts down there in Houston. Of course, our thoughts are with everybody still struggling for what happened down there, all the flooding, the hurricanes. It was tough to watch. Our thoughts are with you. And if you need to do anything, something, you're listening to this on the subway, you're on the treadmill, you're headed to work, you're at work, get on your phone and just text 90999, text Harvey, and automatically you'll send $10 to the Red Cross. They can use everything they can. People all across Southeast Texas are in need of new homes, food, water, and it's best to get it to a place that knows how to distribute it. So go do that. 90999, text Harvey, $10 automatically will go to the Red Cross. Of course, there are so many places that you can send money to and help out, and we, of course, push you and urge you to do that, because when you read these stories and see these pictures and see what will be going down there the next year or 2 years or 5 years, it's going to be tough for those people. So to people in Houston that are listening, our thoughts are with you, man. Stay strong. As a Texan, it breaks my heart to see what's going on, but we will try to help out any way we can. Of course, Stacy Lewis doing her part, and I was so pumped to have her join me just for a few minutes. She's between tournaments. She's headed, you know, to the next LPGA event, but that was drama. That was everything you could ever want to watch. I was on the edge of my seat. It might as well have been my kid playing. That's how nervous I was as she played the 18th out of that fairway bunker. So let's get to it. Stacy Lewis, her 12th LPGA title, and one that I'm sure she will remember for a long, long time, as will the people of Houston. Let's get to it. And we now welcome into the clubhouse Stacy Lewis. She won her 12th LPGA title on Sunday at the Portland Open. And really from the start of the week until the end was the story in the golf world. Stacy, we'll get to that in a minute, and a big congrats, of course, to the win. But I start every podcast the same, and I'm not going to differentiate it with you. I ask every player, what have you had to eat today?
I had some bacon and eggs at the airport this morning.
That's it?
That's it. And I came here and took a nap, so that's what a red eye will do to you.
Yeah, that is a good day. Well, I can only imagine this emotional roller coaster you've been on really since, you know, early last week. I mean, you've lived in the Houston area since you were 11 mm-hmm. years old. When you first saw what was happening there, I mean, did you consider not even playing golf? Did you consider, you know, going back home and trying to help? What was going through your mind even before the week mm-hmm. at the tournament started?
Well, I guess it kind of started the weekend in Canada, kind of Friday and Saturday. There was when things kind of started to get bad, and you know, I was constantly checking my phone, constantly looking at the weather, you know, what's going to happen. Obviously, talking to my husband, he's trying to figure out what to do with his team and all that kind of stuff. So, honestly, Canada and kind of the beginning of the week of Portland was the hardest, because that was when the storm was actually hitting and there were so many unknowns of, you know, what was going to happen to our house, what was going to happen to him. And it was, I mean, it was really, it was hard to even think about golf, really.
And so, I mean, when you're saying you don't think about golf, I mean, you're having to play in a golf tournament. I mean, you're out there. I can only imagine your mind's wandering a lot. Did you go, I'm definitely going to go play in Portland before you even announced, what you were going to do and obviously make the news with kind of the whole earnings thing?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking of going home, I mean, there wasn't anything I could do. You know, if I did go home, one, the airports were all closed, so it was going to be hard to get there anyway. And if I did go home, I mean, I was going to sit there and watch it rain with everybody else. I mean, at least if I'm there playing, I can make a difference. I can do something. My husband just said, you need to play. You need to go to Portland and play. You don't need to come here and sit around with us and watch it rain, basically. So he was super supportive of that, and I just felt like if I'm playing, we need to be doing something for the people in Houston.
Yeah, and you announced before the tournament in Portland, you said you'd be no donating your entire winnings to Houston. Was that something that you just thought up? Was that something you had a conversation with your husband, with family, with friends? I mean, was that a personal decision yourself?
It was actually just mine. I sent a text to him before I went and announced it. I told him, I said, I'm going to donate all my earnings. And he said, that's awesome. So it was just something I came up with and something I wanted to do. I mean, I knew he was going to support it. I knew, everybody would. But it was, I definitely put a little pressure on myself.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, it has to put more pressure on yourself, especially announcing. I mean, if you play well and at the end of the week you go, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to do this," but you put it out on social media, you put it out on Twitter. Did it give you extra motivation? Did it bring the nerves up? I mean, what was going through your mind? And frankly, you didn't get off to the best of starts. I mean, an opening round 70, but
No.
it wasn't like you were red hot in that first round. I could. What was it? Was it just the motivation there?
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, because looking, if you look at it from the outside, it should be more pressure, but I never felt it. I felt a calmness all week. I felt a way I'd never felt on the golf course. The first round, I definitely went out there trying to win the golf tournament. And I was like, look, you can't win the golf tournament the first day. You can't win it on the second hole with the 6 iron. You got to just play golf. And I knew I was playing well. I mean, that was kind of the best thing about it, is that one, Columbia Edgewater is my favorite golf course we play all year, and I was playing well. So, I mean, I think you just had a good kind of coming together of my game and at the right time.
Yeah, and what did anything click or change from that first round to the second round? Because the second round you went out there and you were just on fire.
Yeah, we adjusted my setup a little bit. My swing coach was there. He left on Friday morning, and we adjusted the setup a little bit Thursday evening. And it was I just I told my husband, I felt like I could birdie every hole those last 3 days. I mean, just felt like I was hitting it that good and I was putting it that good that I could actually do that. And it had been a long time since I had felt that way.
And with the announcement being made before the week, you're supporting, everybody in Houston, all the victims, you want to be a part of it. Is that the most love you've ever received from fans, from social media, people reaching out that maybe you've never even talked to? Is it did that feel like the most you'd ever receive? Because you've played in plenty of Solheim Cups, you've played in a ton of LPGA events.
I mean, it's been overwhelming. I've never, with social media, you usually get both sides of the spectrum, and it was so one-sided this week. I've never seen anything like it. It just makes you, it's nice to just see all the good and the people coming out, and the number of people that they want to know where I'm donating this money to, so they can donate to that as well. And then my sponsors match what I'm doing and donate more. I mean, it's crazy how just kind of one selfless act like that can lead to so many other ones. And it's honestly, it's been overwhelming, the response. I mean, my phone's just been going crazy since Wednesday, basically.
Did you have other players come up to you and say, because you did this, I'm going to do this?
Not necessarily. I had some players help me. We donate. We have a big box full of shoes going back to Houston, because we get to go to the employee stores out there in Portland. But I had just so many players, like, it's so cool what you're doing this week. A ton of caddies coming up and saying the same thing. So, I mean, everybody was aware, and for people to just stop and say, stop what they're doing and saying, this is impressive what you're doing. It meant a lot coming from your fellow players.
I like how you just slid in the Nike employee store visit. I was out there with Irene Cho one time, and it was maybe the happiest hour of my life walking through that place. You're like, I could spend too much money here. It's unbelievable. Well, you've won major championships. You've played in a lot of Solheim Cups. How was it like sleeping on this lead with a round to go?
You know, I was exhausted. It's been such a long couple of weeks coming off of Solheim, so I slept fine. You know, I didn't think about it too much. It was a quick turnaround, which was probably to my advantage. And, but I knew I had to play some golf. I knew I had to go out there and make some birdies. And, you know, that's what I did. I got out there, made birdies early, and, you know, was able to hold on there at the end. But I played great golf. You know, putts didn't fall like they have been falling, but they were still right there.
Yeah, it was. You had a big lead. I mean, you extended it early in that final round, and then things got kind of tight. It had been 3 years since your last win. You finished runner-up quite a bit. I mean, did things start to pass through your mind there, or did you just feel like this week was supposed to happen? I'm sure they did, but did you feel like was the week?
I mean, I did. I felt like it was, but, I mean, on 15, I'm just kind of like, all right, here we go again. You know, like, this is going to happen again, but I just kind of said to myself, you know, God's got a plan. Like, God already knows the end to this. And all you can do is commit to your golf shots and keep hitting them. And that's just what I kind of told myself. And I let go of the results and worrying about whether it was a par or whether it was a birdie, and just tried to commit to every golf shot. And, you know, fortunately it was enough, but I just let control go. And I've never done that either. And it was hard, but, you know, I played some great golf those last two holes.
The 18th hole, you're in that bunker, and I was watching it. I got done broadcasting, and I ran over to this bar that's literally like a block from where we do the broadcast from, and my broadcast partner was already there. And I'm on the edge of my seat. You're in the bunker. You've missed a couple drives right in a row. I mean, that is not an easy golf shot. Can you take us through what happened there on 18? Because there's water left. There's a lot of things that can happen.
Right. Well, one, the tee shot's hard on 18. I mean, I think we all three in the group, we missed the fairway. But I was glad it was up far. It was up in the bunker. So it was up on a little bit of an upslope with a perfect lie. And I was 140 yards. And so coming out of a bunker, I mean, it was a perfect 8-iron for me. And I don't know. I over the last couple of weeks, I'd hit some really good fairway bunker shots. So I just kind of had that in my mind of, you know, you can hit this thing. And it definitely helped kind of see an NG shot prior to knowing like what I needed to do. But I mean, it came off as soon as it came off the face. I mean, I knew it was going to be good. It was struck about as perfect as you could hit it.
Yeah, it landed in the middle of the green. I think we both fist pumped. We were all fired up. I know we're not supposed to root in the press box or whatever, but we were like fist pumping.
I think everybody was.
Yeah, you know, now you've got a lag putt that, again, I mean, what was it, 45, 50 feet? I mean, not the easiest of lag putts. You're standing over that just trying to get it down there close.
Yeah, and I'd had some longer putts earlier in the round and had left them short. And so I just told myself I didn't want to leave myself that 4-footer down the hill. So that's why I definitely got down there below the hole, because I wanted to have that uphill putt. And, you know, I knew Angie was going to make her putt. You know, just the way she'd been playing all day, she was going to put the pressure on. So I had to make that little 3-footer. And, you know, when that went in, it was just huge. It was relief. It was, you know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, your husband was supposed to leave with his golf team, and he stayed and surprised you. I read the whole Beth Ann Nichols story that she did. It was great on Golf Week, if you haven't read it yet. But your dad said it was the first time he'd seen you emotional since the Kraft Nabisco in 2011. What was it like when you turn around, you're walking off the green, and your husband's there?
I was shocked. I mean, I think that was pretty much the look on my face, because he had made up this terrible story about his phone not working. So that's why when I tried to call, it went to voicemail when he was actually on an airplane. So it was just shocked. You know, over the last couple of years, I mean, he's been there for every second place and runner up and third and all that stuff. And he knows what it's felt like. And, you know, we've had tears, we've had anger, we've had he's been there the whole way. And so to turn around and see him there, I was fine. I wasn't going to cry until I saw him, and then I just kind of lost it.
it was an okay moment if you're going to let it go. I think that was the right moment to do
it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You've mentioned it. I mean, 12 second place finishes in the last 3 years. You've been so close so many times, and you've said it a few times. Sometimes it's been you, sometimes it's been somebody else. Was there a moment where you thought to yourself, I don't know if this will ever happen again?
All the time. I mean, it was you. I mean, I think back to my couple matches at Solheim that I kind of messed up there at the end, and you just kind of wonder, like, can I actually do this? You know, can I finish a golf tournament when I need to? Can I play with a lead? And, you know, there were a lot of tears at Solheim just because of how I finished those rounds. And so to come back kind of just a couple weeks after that and get the win, I mean, I think that's why it means more than anything. And, you know, you just – the problem with it is you're asked the question all the time and everybody wants to know what you're feeling. What do you think? What do you think? And you try not to think about it that much, but when you ask that question, you think about it all the time. And it's, you know, it's a hard place to be in.
Well, you talked about it earlier this season. You said you were going to, you know, scale back your schedule and play a little bit less, mm-hmm. focus a little bit more on your family. Does winning like mm-hmm. this in this fashion with all the attention and everything like that, does this make mm-hmm. you want to get back out there more, play more, you know, compete more as you know your game is still there and still able to win these big events?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm scheduled to take 5 weeks off after this week, which I'm still going to do, but I'm only playing like 3 events less. So it's not anything crazy. It's more for my health and my body and all that. But it definitely gives you a lot more motivation now. You know, I'm definitely a lot more excited to tee it up this week for after, and this will be my 4th week in a row. You know, I'm kind of itching to get back out there already. I mean, there's definitely some excitement to it now. And, you know, just knowing that I don't have to go to the golf course and answer that question anymore.
That's nice. Nobody's going to ask you, when are you going to win again?
Thank you. That's
devil motivation right there.
Yes.
So I have to ask, and you can't lie to us, was there any point mm-hmm. last week or over the weekend where you Googled how much the winner was going to get?
No, the only reason I knew is because I heard somebody in the crowd say it. They said, take home that 195 or whatever it was. That was the only reason I knew.
only helpful thing anyone's ever yelled out of the gallery. That's nice. It's better than mashed potatoes. You talked about Solheim. I texted Julie Inkster a little bit ago, and I told her I was going to chat with you, and she said that she called you her rock. She said you were her go-to person mm-hmm. throughout the week. She was the person she would go talk to you a lot about things. What would you guys talk about? I mean, was it pairings? Was it just how the team is, how the players were feeling? Mm-hmm. What would you two discuss during the week, as, you know, she's the captain and you're one of the veteran players?
I mean, we talked months leading up to Solheim, and a lot of it was about picks and how the team was going to come together. And then during the week, it was pairings and, you know, if we needed to do certain things and timing wise. And, you know, she relied on me a lot in Germany and kind of kept it going into this one. But I don't know. I feel like I kind of have a good read on people, and she trusts that and believes in that. And, you know, I was just glad I was able to help her and kind of calm her down a little bit.
Yeah, she was a viral sensation with her cup. Mm-hmm. I was messing with her a lot about
that.
Oh, yeah. It was
oh,
great. She turned into a meme.
It's 100% Julie Inkster right there.
It was great. So you said people have asked you. I'm going to have to ask you. I mean, do you know where you and KPMG and everybody that's been involved in this? I mean, is there a place you're going to donate the money? Are you going to work on some different places? How are you going to kind of distribute it?
I think we're still working on it. You know, honestly, it's kind of letting everything settle down there a little bit. But I really want to help people rebuild their homes. That's the thing that's just hit me the most is seeing the 6, 7, 8 feet of water in people's houses. Like, I can't even imagine it, coming home and seeing all your stuff floating or soaking wet and just having to restart again. I mean, I just breaks my heart. And that's really where I want the money to go. So we're going to work on that. And that's something over these next 5, 6 weeks that when I'm home, that's what I'm going to be working on, is making sure, you know, the right people are getting help.
Is there a place, have you set up anything that if people listening or people want to get involved, is there a place that they can donate money that can help you guys out, or that you guys can find places to make sure it goes to kind of the right areas?
Mm-hmm. I have not set anything up yet. I know that what JJ Watt, obviously everybody's seen what he's doing. I think that's definitely kind of a similar cause, that that's going to go to the right place as well. But we honestly still working on it. You know, I don't want to decide beforehand and say this is where the money is going and that's
right.
it. But I have had so many people respond and say they want to donate too, that we're going to come up with a solution and we'll get it out there for everybody to know.
So your Twitter handle is, and let's see if people will know.
Stacy_Lewis.
There you go. So follow along. If she has news mm-hmm. on that, she'll update you. A couple more questions. Mm-hmm. One is, and something I've always wanted to ask you because I freaked out when it happened. Your shot into the road hole at the 2013 British Open, is that the best golf shot you ever hit in your life?
Absolutely. Without question.
It was unbelievable.
It was, I mean, the crazy part is that I hit a similar shot earlier in the week. It was with 4-iron, and I hit it to, like, 6 feet. but it was, I mean, just given the moment and the situation, and you're on the old course at the home of golf, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was so focused on birdieing the next hole at the time, I didn't even really think about it. But it was, the 5-iron is saved. It is put off to the side. It is not, you know, getting lost in the shuffle, that's for sure.
No, that one probably should stay around. I think I had it on. I think that was one of my most looped vines of all time. That was back when you could actually mm-hmm. record it off your TV and nobody cared. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, I mean, I caddied at St. Andrews, and I'd never seen a golf shot mm-hmm. like that in my entire life. So that was pretty special to see. Stacy, it was fun to follow this whole journey. I mean, you got all the credit and all the fanfare and all the media you should get. And just, you know, I think for everybody, just congrats. I mean, you know, winning is great,
thank
but
you.
Doing it kind of with that behind it, I know is really special. So congrats. I hope you play well this week. I hope the rest of the year works out for you, and we're excited to see what happens next.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Many thanks to Stacy for jumping on. Just again, I mean, it's a story that really touches my heart. I'm sure it touches a ton of people's heart to see. You know, this stuff doesn't happen in sports. You don't go out and say something like this and do something that you've been so close to doing for 3 years and actually pull it off. I mean, if she didn't win, it still would have been a ton of money to donate. But she won. She did it for another cause. She said she let somebody else take the wheel and pull it off. And, you know, it was an emotional win. It was an emotional win for fans. It was an emotional win for Stacy. It was an emotional win for the city of Houston and the state of Texas and golf fans around the world. So just pumped that I got to chat with her for a few minutes. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Just a reminder, go to ogio.com. I've preached about that Renegade backpack. I'm not lying to you. The thing is unbelievable. It's got so many pockets. It's got a secure pocket for your iPad and your computer, so you could drop it and nothing's going to happen to the two most precious pieces of equipment that you carry around a lot. So go to Ogio, ogio.com. Use that offer code THECLUBHOUSE, no spaces, and you'll save 20%. Do that. The Cirrus golf bag is great. The Mutant travel bag is the one I use everywhere I go. All of their products are awesome, and I urge you to check out everything at ogio.com. I also urge you to do what you can for the people of Houston. Listen, if it's a buck, if it's $2, if it's $5, whatever it is, it will help. Trust me. If you look at what some people that don't have huge followings have been able to do just by rounding up money, dollars, anything they can do to help the relief efforts, it's going to be a long, long process. This isn't just this week or next. It's going to be months and years before everything is even remotely close to what it was. So try to help out however you can. Anything you do, promise you, it will go a long way. So do that. Last thing, thanks, Stacy. Thanks to all you out there. If you donated, this is for people that have stayed around this long. Whatever you donate from this point forward, if you screen grab the donation and you tweet at the Clubhouse Pod, that's at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter, screen grab and tag me in it, I will automatically send you a Clubhouse koozie. That's all you got to do. Do that. I'll direct message you. I'll get you address, and boom, I'll get you a koozie in the mail. And I will do it that day. I know I've lacked and been lazy and frankly been kind of busy and on the road a lot. But if you do that, I will get you a Clubhouse koozie that day. Your beer will be colder in a 3 days' time as long as the post office can do it. All you got to do is take a screen grab of your donation, send it my way on Twitter at the Clubhouse Pod, and a koozie will come your way. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Walker Cup is coming up, and we're going to have an episode talking with Spider Miller, the American captain, a little bit later this week. Hope you guys enjoyed your Labor Day.